It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. An HIV treatment drug has been shown to prevent infection in the first place and is rapidly gaining endorsements from public health organizations. Governor Cuomo sees it as a crucial piece of his plan to basically end the epidemic by 2020 in New York State. And one of its strongest advocates will soon be heading up New York City's Bureau of HIV/AIDS Prevention. So why is it facing resistance from some of the staunchest AIDS advocates? I'm joined now by Stephen Valentino, an associate producer for The Leonard Lopate Show, who recently did a special report on the controversy over the drug called Truvada, and by New York Times domestic correspondent Josh Barrow, who's written about the drug for their new data-driven site and covered some of the politics of that as well. That data-driven site on the Times website is called The Upshot. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show, Stephen Valentino.
Thank you, Brian.
And to WNYC, Josh Barrow.
Good morning.
So Truvada, for people who don't know, was developed and is used to treat HIV infection, but has now gotten FDA approval as a pre-exposure prophylaxis, which gets shortened to PrEP, meaning you take it every day as a preventive thing and your risk of ever getting affected, Stephen, drops close to zero?
That is what the numbers are saying. The CDC guidelines are currently saying that if you take it, you'll have a 92% of protection against contracting HIV.
I don't like the 8 in 100 odds of contracting HIV, but that's about the same. And I know you want to weigh in here, Josh. I mean, that's about the same protection percentage that you get from a condom, right? Condoms break. Condoms, I think, are often said to be about 90% effective.
Well, the problem with condoms is that people say they use them and then they don't use them consistently. There was one study that looked at gay men who said they always use condoms and gay men who said they never use condoms. And the ones who said they always use condoms were 70% less likely to contract HIV. So they were getting significant protection, but not anywhere close to 100. It doesn't seem to be mostly about breakage. It seems to be mostly about the fact that people intend to use condoms and then in the heat of the moment they fail to or they don't use them through the entire act. I would note that 92% number, there are two things about it to feel better about it than it sounds. One is that's a 92% relative reduction. And so most people, even if they went about their normal sex life in a given year never using condoms, they would generally not contract HIV. In the major study on PrEP that looked at people who were not taking Truvada, they had about a 3 or 4% chance of contracting HIV in a given year. The other thing is that 92% number includes people who were taking the drug at all, even if they weren't taking it every day as prescribed. They didn't find any infections in people who had the drug at levels in their blood that were consistent with taking it every day. That's not good enough to say it's 100% effective, but the statistical model that the researchers put together, they estimate that it's about 99% effective if you take it every day. You would need an enormous sample size to be able to establish that through direct observation of infections.
This is WNYC FM HD in AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. We are New York and New Jersey Public Radio. And listeners, have you and your doctor discussed Truvada? Are you taking it? Have you considered it and decided not to take it? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Tell us about how you're reacting to the news that this treatment is getting such widespread public health endorsement. If you are sexually active in a way that might leave you exposed to HIV, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. So, Stephen, what's the controversy?
So the controversy around Truvada is that there is a fear among certain public health advocates that the availability of this drug is going to take the brakes off of the public health message, which has been with us for 30 years, that you have to use a condom every single time. And then that has generated a significant amount of pushback from people who are saying, you know, this is just an extra tool in the toolbox to help prevent HIV infection. Because up until now, public health advocates have basically had two options when it comes to getting people to protect themselves from HIV. One is abstinence, which is, for some people, a non-starter. And the other is use a condom. So there's been a tremendous amount of support around this drug because there's a feeling that for those people who don't use condoms or don't use condoms regularly, there's now an additional option.
And you spoke with many people in the community about Truvada for your piece to gauge reactions. And let's hear some of those. Start with someone named Lily, who's on Truvada. Do you want to set this up, or should we just listen to her?
Yeah, she's a 23-year-old Puerto Rican transgendered woman who lives in South Brooklyn. And, yeah, she's been taking Truvada for about 2 months.
I do feel like I have a little bit more control. I feel like I'm a little bit more protected. I don't think that it's a miracle pill. I still feel like you need to take precautions. I feel like you still need to use condoms and contraceptives. But, I mean, it makes me feel a little bit more secure. It does.
Interesting in her case, Stephen, that she said she still feels she does need to use condoms, that it's not a way to not have to use condoms. And yet that's what most of the press around it seems to say.
Well, and the doctors and the CDC have stressed that this is a drug that you should take in addition to regular use of condoms. And most of the research that has come out so far is not indicating that there has been a huge change in condom use among gay men. I have yet to encounter anyone who's planning a condom burning party in the middle of 9th Avenue, but there are, I have met some people anecdotally who are on the drug who have totally abandoned condoms and feel perfectly fine with that.
Here's another person you interviewed, a man named Omar, who you found in a club. Listen.
If you use Truvada and you have unprotected sex, then there is some stigma about it. And that's bullshit, because why it's okay to use prophylaxis for malaria and not for HIV?
A lot of the arguments that you hear against it is that exactly that, the people are going to take this drug and they're going to have bareback sex.
People are barebacking anyway, so why don't we give them the options?
Would you take it?
No, for me, for many reasons, condoms are the best option.
And you heard from someone who'd had condomless sex with a man who he said was on Truvada, which would mean he couldn't get HIV from him, but felt vulnerable nonetheless because he had to take his word for it.
Yeah, I mean, and that is sort of one of the new gray areas of, I don't want to say sex in the Truvada age, but, there is this question of trust, and you are really only protected if you are the person taking the drug. And there is a concern that people are going to take this medication and they're not going to take it regularly, or they're going to tell people that they're taking it and they won't be on it, and that it's going to lead to an uptick in infections because they're, being irresponsible.
False sense of security.
False sense of security. But, people tell their partners that they're negative when they don't know if they're negative and have unprotected sex all the time. So it's not completely uncharted territory. It's just instead of this discussion of status, it's now this discussion of, are you on this drug?
And Josh Barra from The Times, I'm going to get to you in a minute on the politics of this and Governor Cuomo's involvement in Truvada and why he thinks it could help actually end the epidemic. He's got a vision zero, not for traffic deaths, but for HIV infections for New York by the year 2020. But I want to take a phone call first at 212-433-WNYC. Brett in Manhattan, you're on the air. Hi, Brett.
Hi there. Yeah, so I've been taking PrEP for about a year and a half or two, and that's since before CDC started to recommend it. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about what Omar was saying, which is that there is a lot of stigma among gay men and a lot of sort of confusion and argument on Facebook and just within social media and on blogs. One phrase that's brought up a lot is Truvada whore, which is kind of a way of saying what Omar was mentioning, that you know, you're having bareback sex and you're proud of it and you're using it that way. While at the same time, you know, people were already having bareback sex and contracting HIV. So, you know, the reason that for 30 years people didn't use, or the message was to use condoms, was really for HIV. There's been other sexually transmitted infections for longer than 30 years, and I think we've got to get up to date.
Brett, thank you very much. And Stephen, in a way, this is a very retro conversation about gay male sex. It seems like we've been talking about nothing but marriage
right.
in the media for years now,
right.
as opposed to how to protect yourself when you're single, when you're not in a, you know, monogamous committed relationship. And that's what people talked about in the 80s and the 90s and the beginning of the 2000s. And then it all went away because marriage kind of took all the air out of the room. You know, being the dominant issue.
Right. But, you know, in that time, HIV as a problem did not go away, you know, and infection rates, you know, I think that they plateaued. And obviously with the arrival of the drug cocktail in the 90s, you know, there was the crisis itself was sort of abated. Well, it didn't abate, but like the...
No, but the attitude changed.
The attitude around
that it was... something that you could live with
right.
rather than die from
exactly.
necessarily, though, of course, we've had many conversations here about that as too confident an attitude because it's still, you know, it definitely is not any fun to have HIV,
right?
Even if you're not going to die in 2 years like the people at the beginning of the crisis, or at least not have as high a chance of that.
Right.
So Josh Barrow from The Times, where does Governor Cuomo come into the Truvada discussion?
Well, I think when you talk with Governor Cuomo's staff, what they see is that over the last decade, New York has had tremendous success in reducing HIV infections among basically every subgroup except men who have sex with men, who are the largest subgroup, now pushing 70% of new infections in New York, because the state, you know, for example, by providing clean needles, has almost eliminated new infections through injection drug use. They've had significant success reducing infection through heterosexual transmission, basically eliminated parent-to-child transmission at childbirth. And so they're left with gay men, and the message for all this time has been use condoms, and they've basically reached saturation on that. They've convinced as many people as they were going to use condoms regularly. So the state sees this as a new tool that may reduce the infection rate among that population. And the plan has three planks. One of them is PrEP, which is aiming to make HIV-negative men less likely to be susceptible to infection. The other two have to do with existing HIV-positive men, trying to get them to be tested and get them to get in treatment and stay in treatment. When you go on antiretroviral medication, it pushes your viral load all the way down to an undetectable level, which doesn't just make you healthier, it also makes it virtually impossible for you to give the virus to anybody else. So the idea is to sort of go at it from both ends, make it much harder for people who have HIV to transmit it and make it much harder for people who don't have HIV to get it. And you called it a Vision Zero. It's more of a Vision 750. The goal is to get new infections down from 3,000 a year now to 750 a year by 2020. And what that will mean is that the number of New Yorkers living with HIV will go into decline, and that should support further declines in new infections just because there are simply fewer people who are capable of transmitting HIV.
Katie in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Katie.
Hi. I have a question. Actually, 2 points. One is the prophylaxis angle I am certainly in favor of. I do have an issue that most insurers will not, except for Medicaid, will not pay for birth control. At this point, many do, but they're not required to. So even though childbirth is not a life-threatening illness in most cases, it's an option that people have and may or may not have to take. However, who is going to pay for all this? From what I can see, Truvada costs anywhere from $1,200 to $1,400 a month, just for one, you know, 1 month of prescription. Number two, what about the follow-up with this? As far as people that are going to be on the drug, likely very young people who have never been on drugs before, and need to follow up. No drugs are benign. In that they impact some organ or part of the system in our body. And Truvada specifically can have very negative effects on the kidneys. So how is this going to be monitored? And who, again, will pay for that monitoring?
Those are all great questions, and I'm glad you raised them. On the finances, Stephen.
So New York State Medicaid is covering the program. Most insurance companies, private insurance companies, are also covering for it. The logic being, and $13,000 a year is not cheap. But the logic that most insurance companies that I spoke with sort of were saying was that, you know, paying for someone to go on Truvada for 3 months or 6 months is a lot cheaper than having to pay for a lifetime's worth of HIV medications.
And so insurance companies are covering it?
They are covering it, yes.
The other thing to note is that Truvada is under patent, but it will go off patent in 2017. So the economics of it are likely to change significantly in a few years when it becomes available as a generic. But the coverage has been nearly universal in the private insurance space for exactly that reason of long-term cost savings. The follow-up is a significant issue, though, and this is an issue also for HIV-positive patients, that if you're on this drug, you need to go to your doctor every 3 months to get blood tests done, you need to get a prescription refilled every month, and they do check for those for kidney function. There are rare negative side effects with kidneys, but Truvada is one of the best tolerated HIV medications. The question is, how many people are in a good position to stick with that follow-up? It's not so much about the cost of it as the difficulty of getting people to follow any chronic maintenance treatment. It's hard to get people to take their high blood pressure medication, and one challenge that we've seen in the trials with PrEP is, can you get people to actually reliably take the pill every day and go to the doctor every 3 months?
And to the question of risk and side effects and things like that, I want to play a clip from Stephen Valentino's WNYC report of New York City's incoming assistant health commissioner in charge of the Bureau of HIV/AIDS Prevention. That's Dr. Dimitri Daskalakis of Mount Sinai Hospital, who is a big advocate of Truvada as PrEP or prevention. But he talks in this clip about the sliding scale of risk and treatment.
HIV prevention is a sliding scale. If you're on the condom universe, you don't need to take a pill a day. It's just going to waste your time and give you side effects, because then the side effects aren't worth the benefit. If you're someone who, like, well, you know, oops, I go to the black party one time a year and I do bad things at the black party, but that's the only time I ever do bad things, quote unquote. Well, then that's someone who I would say maybe needs post-exposure prophylaxis after the event, or like potentially episodic PrEP. And then at the far end is, you know, I use condoms 60% of the time. I have a bunch of partners and I don't know who they are or what their status is. Well, so for me, that's a PrEP person. So I really give them that and say, you and I will decide together whether your risk is great enough to merit the risk of being on a medicine a day and all the stuff that comes along with it.
A medicine a day and all the stuff that comes along with it. What about side effects?
So the side effects, as reported, there's generally a little bloating, a little nausea, discomfort. People who report headaches. That usually lasts for about a couple weeks to a month. After that, most people tend to tolerate it pretty well. A couple people I spoke with said that they had horrible experiences with it. It was very, very, very uncomfortable, and that they didn't like the side effects, but that after a while it went away and it was worth it for them. But, you know, I mean...
Are there long-term studies of potential long-term side effects, or not measured yet?
We only know, how long have antiretrovirals been around? 20 plus years?
18 years.
So we only really have data. I mean, maybe Josh has more information on this, but we only have data that far out.
Because it already was in use as a treatment for people who are HIV positive.
Well, and the other thing is that, you know, we're seeing use in people who are HIV positive, who therefore have related health issues that may make the experience of the drug not extrapolatable. The other thing is that antiretrovirals used to be given in higher doses and used to have a lot more side effects, the early ones that were given. So when you're looking at people who have had the experience of being on antiretrovirals since the 1990s, that's probably a more medically taxing experience than somebody who's going either on PrEP now or somebody who's newly HIV positive going on relatively modern antiretrovirals now.
Before you go, Stephen, he used a phrase in that clip, Dr. Daskalakis, or Daskalakis did that I hadn't heard before. Black party. You go to a black party once a year and do bad things. I assume that's not a racial reference.
No.
What is a black party?
It is a circuit party that happens once a year in Manhattan that is a lot of things happen there. Let's just leave it at that. Not all of them radio friendly.
A lot of things happen there.
Yes.
The reporting from WNYC's Stephen Valentino, usually a producer on the Leonard Lopate show. He did this special report for WNYC on Truvada as a prevention, as Truvada the drug as a prevention for HIV. Stephen, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
And you can see Josh Barrow's data crunching on this on the Times data site Upshot. Josh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, who are the characters in your neighborhood? We will invite you to call in and tell us about them. And who put the white flags on the Brooklyn Bridge yesterday? And who exactly were they suggesting should surrender? We'll talk to Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams, who actually called it an act of terror. Stay with us.